Welcome to episode 9 of Mark's Mess versus the Evolutionary War, the 12-issue limited podcast. Each episode, I will be looking at one of the Marvel 1988 annuals with the banner of the Evolutionary War. I will examine both the main story and the backup, and the 12th and final podcast, I will talk about the High Evolutionary story, which runs at the end of nearly all the annuals. This is episode 9, which is the West Coast Avengers annual number 3. If you want to contact me by email on mymarksmess@gmail.com or my Twitter feed is marksmesspodcasts. We'll get straight into the comic this episode because we want to get on with it because this one has no backup feature, but it has two main features. The front cover is kind of pinky with the face of the High Evolutionary looking down. On one side, there is half of the team of the West Coast Avengers, the other side, there's other half as if they're about to fight each other. And in between, we have the looming figure of Giant Man, that's a Bill Foster Giant Man. And below him, jumping in between his legs, is Black Panther. A little bit of background to the West Coast Avengers at this time. The team have just split up in issue 37 with Hawkeye and Mockingbird. Remember, they're married at this time, having irreconcilable differences. Mockingbird let the Phantom Rider die through various means. She didn't kill him, but she let him die. Hawkeye is really angry about that, and the circumstances, which were to do with her being raped, I suppose, Hawkeye doesn't care because an Avenger does not kill. So the two teams have gone on their way, their merry way. Mantis just turned up. Remember her from the Silver Surfer annual? So she just turned up being mind-controlled and they got rid of that, and that's why she's with Hawkeye's Avengers at the moment. So let's look inside this comic. Both stories are written by Steve Englehart. I gave a profile of him during the Fantastic Four and the Silver Surfer episodes. He also was writing the West Coast Avengers at this time. Al Milgrom was doing the layouts for both of these stories, and he was a West Coast Avengers artist at this time. He also wrote Solo Avenger, or drew for Solo Avengers, for the Avengers, and he also did the Kitty Pryde and Wolverine. He did the art for that miniseries, and that's one of those ones I'd like to get my hands on, but it's proving elusive. In the first story, the inker is Jerry Tallock, and he was doing Alpha Flight, and he'd done quite a bit of Hulk as well as a few issues of other comics. And the second story, Chris Ivey was the inker. He did quite a few What If, Alpha Flight, and Marvel Comics Presents, which I suppose every creator has done Marvel Comics Presents one time or another. So the first story is entitled Heads You Lose. After what happened in the X-Men annual, the High Evolutionary builds a citadel in the Savage Land, the newly reconstructed Savage Land, and his technicians work for him towards his plan. Stack, if you remember him from, I don't know, the New Mutants annual, he gets ready for a mission to Wakanda, which he believes is near to the Savage Land, which is weird because Wakanda is in Africa and the Savage Land is in the South Pole. Either Englehart doesn't know his geography or the Marvel Universe is slightly different than ours. One technician named William places a capsule secretly into one of the Gatherer's uniform before the Gatherer goes on the mission. And the High Evolutionary recounts to himself the events of the Fantastic Four 316 to 317, which, with his dislike of the Beyonders, and vows to conclude his project soon that he's working on. The Gatherers arrive in the jungle of African Wakanda to discover that it is not as backward a country as it looks. And fight Black Panther, King of Wakanda, and his men. After beating the High Evolutionary forces, the Black Panther finds a hidden capsule with instructions from Dr. William Foster to contact Dr. Henry Pym. Black Panther summons the West Coast Avengers because Henry Pym, who was originally Ant-Man, then Giant Man, then Large Man, then Boring Man with lots of pockets, is a scientific advisor for the West Coast Avengers. They come and Hawkeye, Wonder Man, Scarlet Witch, Vision and Mantis come with him as well. Hawkeye explains that the team have split up, as I've already recounted. They discuss William Foster, Pym's ex-laboratory assistant, who used the Pym particles to become the superhero Black Goliath. Black because that was the colour of his skin. And in the 70s, Marvel wasn't too clever with that type of thing. He had become ill in the pages of Marvel 2-in-1 and was saved by a blood transfusion from Spider-Woman, but he lost his growing powers. Just then, Wakanda is invaded by more high evolutionary forces. This time, a group called the Censors. They must have been scraping the bottom of the barrel for these guys. Okay, there's a children's program in the UK called Nina and the Neurons. On all the neurons, basically, are these people, only not evil. Sight, touch, sound, smell, taste, and the other sense, which is intuition? Okay. Anyway, it's Fighty McFight time, and the sound... Sound and smell both confuse Black Panther's senses, because his power is knowing, having quite good senses. Scarlet Witch cannot pinpoint smell with her hexes because she's in a cloud of Pong. A bit like, I don't know, the Bass Street Kids, and if somebody smells in that. Sight uses a laser to attack the Vision, and Wonder Man tackles Touch, thinking this would be easy, but Touch quickly throws him against a wall. Hawkeye tackles Touch into submission, and Mantis battles Intuition. Intuition has an intuition of what you're going to do. So the two of them, Mantis is quite a martial arts type character, so that was quite interesting. While the Avengers are distracted by the fight, Stax teleports into the Wakandan vibranium mine and steals some of the rare metal unnoticed, and therefore fulfilling his mission. Vibranium is one of the two main made-up metals in the Marvel Universe, the other one being adamantium, which is what Wolverine's claws are made of. Vibranium sort of absorbs vibrations. If you watch the Captain America movie, his shield is made of vibranium, but in the comics it's made of an alloy of vibranium and adamantium, making it strong and absorbs whatever. Which, anyway, with Wakanda safe, the West Coast Avengers travel to the Savage Land, following the coordinates that Bill Foster left as a message. They arrive in the Savage Land only to find a large hole in the ground and wonder what had happened. The end of story one. On to the second one, because they're both basically one story, but in two chapters. Tales You Lose. This time it is Mockingbird's Avengers that are going to the Savage Land. They're following a lead of Master Pandemonium that has been spotted by the Fantastic Four in the Savage Land. So he's a West Coast Avenger villain, so they're going to try and find him. They were told that the Savage Land was now a barren, icy waste, as we saw at the start of the X-Men annual, but they find it now is populated with jungle and dinosaurs and the like. Within the Quinjet, oh, I do love these Quinjets of this era. I think they've just got a classy shape. Within the Quinjet, we have Mockingbird, Tigra, and Moon Knight. Mockingbird is an ex-SHIELD agent who basically has a staff, big sleeves, and can jump about and dodge things. Tigra basically has instincts and the speed and the strength of a tiger. And Moon Knight is basically your Batman ripoff. Because there's not much... Well, he throws moon dart things that look like batarangs. Anyway, They land and meet Kezar, the Lord of the Savage Land. Remember him from the very end of the X-Men annual? He's basically a Tarzan knockoff. And they ask him how the Savage Land is not destroyed. Kezar points to the Citadel of the High Evolutionary and recounts the events of the X-Men annual, leaving out the fact that the X-Men were there because no one's meant to know that the X-Men are alive. After a short visit with Kezar's new family, the West Coast Avengers decide to visit the High Evolutionary and find out what he's up to. As the three of them approach the Citadel, they realise that none of them actually know anything about the High Evolutionary, whether he's good or bad. They haven't read the files and they've never encountered him before. So they decide instead of sneaking in or doing anything rash like that, they knock on the door. And they're very much welcomed in a sort of parody of The Wizard of Oz. Somebody sticks his head out. Yes, what do you want? We're here to see the High Evolutionary. And they welcome them in. Bill Foster spots them from a distance, and he starts to make plans to get close to them. The West Coast Avengers meet the High Evolutionary and he tells his plans to build a bomb that will mutate everyone on Earth. Before they can react, the West Coast Avengers are gassed, with Moon Knight the last to succumb to the knockout gas. Mockingbird wakes up to find herself in a maze and fighting an octopus-like robot, with the High Evolutionary looking on from his monitor, looking for a guinea pig for his evolutionary formula. Tiger is also fighting her robot and smells Moon Knight behind a wall and uses her claws to rip it open to find that he has already beaten his robot as well. Meanwhile, Bill Foster is wandering the corridors trying to get to the West Coast Avengers, and he runs into trouble with the guards. Mockingbird gets to the end of her maze and confronts a High Evolutionary and nearly beats him, but he uses his powers to grow to the to a large size and decides Mockingbird will be the subject of his experiment in evolution. Bill Foster sees this and decides to use an experimental drug that he's been using the High Evolutionary's labs to work on to try and once again become Giant Man. The serum works and he grows and starts to fight the enlarged High Evolutionary. Giant Man, which we'll now call him, explains that he worked for the High Evolutionary solely so he could secretly work on a serum to restore his powers. The High Evolutionary is nearly beaten by Giant Man until he hears that the vibranium for the bomb has been gotten, and the High Evolutionary escapes in his ship. The West Coast Avengers escape from the Citadel just before it explodes, leaving a giant hole in the ground. This team of West Coast Avengers go on their way just before the other team of West Coasters Avengers arrive to find a hole in the ground. Right, we're getting more and more into what on earth the High Evolutionary is up to. I think some of these stories work into each other, like the Spider-Man annuals work into each other with the whole drugs thing. Exactly how the High Evolutionary, why the High Evolutionary wants that, I don't know. And does it work over the whole of the world with his drugs? Again, is not explained. But this works well with the X-Men annual, and then it goes into the West Coast Avengers annual, and eventually we'll see the culmination in the Avengers annual, which is the last of the annuals on this series, unless you count ALF. But we'll come to that. I promise we'll do ALF as well. The artwork was quite reasonable. I've been reading the West Coast Avengers around this story, and this story fits in really well. I like the fact that they shadow it in that issue 37, and this is the story immediately after about the split of the team and what happens. Also, we see another lost civilization which seems to be afraid that's going through these. At this time, it's Wakanda. We also see two heroes that we haven't seen much of in these annuals. Black Panther, who is a mainstay of the Avengers, the main team of Avengers, But he likes to spend his time, because he's a monarch of Wakanda, to spend his time there. And Bill Foster, who I have not read that much about, I think you can correct me if you want to on the various emails and Twitters, but I think he's one of these guys that was invented just so they could have another character of the same power, make him slightly different, make him this time make him black, same as Spider-Woman. They made her a Spider-Man as a woman, but they changed a lot in that. They haven't done that much with Bill Foster. Poor Bill Foster was killed by the clone of Thor in the Civil War, but that's many years from now. He's just got over cancer, he's just got his powers back, and he's got that to look forward to. Not that he actually appears in anything else, but I'm babbling. Artwork's pretty good. I enjoyed it. There's not much of a difference between the finishes of Jerry Talico and Ivy. You know, it's nice to see Kazar, or whatever you call him, again in the comics. Again, I haven't read much of him and his wife. The rest of this annual is taken up, before we get to the final pages of the High Evolutionary story, the rest of the annual is taken up with a gallery again, so cue the music. Next one is Hawkeye. And really nice piece of his in a wee chill out room where he's sitting down going, if I keep losing team members at this rate, I really will be a solo Avenger. Solo Avengers being the comic book that highlights different Avengers in a solo story, but always has one of the two stories in it of Hawkeye. And on the wall, there's three pictures just behind him. One of the swordsman, you're a little green arrow, but with me teaching, you'll make it. From the swordsman. Of course, Green Arrow being the pun there. One from Captain America. For a guy who started out as Robin Hood, you've done great. Hawkeye, of course, started off as a villain in Iron Man. And then he was brought in for the second team, Cap's team of Avengers. And the third one is a target with the arrow having hit just off-center and the one that got away. And in the background, we have got pictures of Tigra, Moon Knight, Iron Man and Mockingbird upside down with an arrow through Mockingbird's picture. Next one is Wonder Man, who's pumping iron in front of the mirror. Good thing I'm a movie star and not a secretary. When it comes to typing, I'd have to rely on the Hunt and Pex method. I've got no idea what the Hunt and Pex method, but obviously it's a pun on Pex because he's strong. And in the background, he's got posters of some of the movies he's appeared in. Archon Swords Against Aardvarks and things like that. Next is Vision and Scarlet Witch. Vision is saying, are you done rearranging the furniture yet? And Scarlet Witch going, oh, stop acting so human. I want it to look like a Vision. And her two children in the background. The two children that don't really exist, but them did exist and help form the young Avengers. Happy days. And the picture above Vision is of Wonder Man, who the Vision's brain patterns are based on Wonder Man's brain patterns. Over the page is Tigra, who looks as if she's in a cat play den. Anybody for a game of cat and mouse? You be the mouse. Scary woman. That's all I've got to say. Scary woman. Picture of Mockingbird that could have been taken out of issue 37 of West Coast Avengers. Listen to the Mockingbird, Avengers. I quit. She's walking away from the team. Next is Mantis, who is hovering in her the greenhouse, it looks like. It's a new technique. No. It's a new meditation technique. This one calls it transcendental levitation. Ha ha. Okay. Blimey. And the aforementioned Dr. Pym. And he's looking at pictures of his former selves, as in Ant-Man, Giant-Man, Big-Man, Yellow Jacket. Forgot about him. His very first appearance as Incredible Shrinking Man. Now who shall I be next? Moon Knight, who is standing on a windy hill with the moon behind him and a face on the moon. I think his powers are connected to the moon, so if the moon is quite strong, his powers will be strong. an Avenger first, a Konoshu fist. Again, just what I was promised. Mentioned the renegade West Coast Avengers were trying to get to Master Pandemonium, and there's a picture of him looking into a crystal ball at the West Coast Avengers. Somehow I've got the strange feeling we're being watched, says Wonder Man. There's a special bonus, the previously unpublished cover of issue 14. I'd need to read up on what actually happened then. But in they're in the cave. In the background, you see the shadowed figures of Wonder Man, Iron Man, Mockingbird, and Hawkeye, and in the foreground, Son of Satan and Hellcat. And that ends this issue. Again, I like this issue because it fitted in with other storylines that are going through these annuals. I'm starting to get into it. Some of the annuals don't seem to matter that much in what they're doing. But this one I liked a lot. It was fast paced enough not to mind the silliness. The villains they faced in Wakanda were just too silly to mention. I mean, Intuition, really? Smelly Girl? I don't know. But it was fast paced enough not to mind, and it really played into what the High Evolutionary was doing. It wasn't just for the sake of having a fight. They were a distraction so somebody could go in and steal the vibranium for this bomb that will appear in one of the other annuals. It was nice to see Bill Foster gain his powers back. It would have been lovely to see him do more with it. But he doesn't appear much more in the comic books until his untimely death. He does appear in a run of Marvel Comics Presents, but I haven't read that. It could have been quite an interesting character, but it's a pity he's so underused. Mantis, it was nice to see Asher do something. And also the fact that this is the same writer as the Fantastic Four and Silver Surfer, it draws those annuals into this as well. Where you had the Mantis turn up first there, then into the West Coast Avengers comic, and into this annual. And we'd like to see her develop from there. I would recommend getting this one because it's a decent story, decent art, and it ties in quite well to the whole Fantastic Four. At the end of each show, I highlight a podcast that's hopefully related to the comic book I covered. And this month is Back to the Bins presents Avengers Spotlight, where the fantastic Back to the Bins podcast world, they really do a lot of podcasts on anything that's geeky and worthy of it, and they do quite a few comic book ones, and they're doing an Avengers one where they're just picking different Avengers stories and going through them. Really worthwhile. Great guys who are doing all these podcasts. I recommend you go to the website and look at what podcasts are available, what you would like if you're into Star Wars or Star Trek or lots of other things. It's well worth delving into that. But they do an Avengers one as well. So thank you very much. So check them out and discover a whole world of podcasting geekery. This has been Mark's Mess versus the Evolutionary War, episode 9 of a 12-issue limited podcast. All characters are property of Marvel Comics, and thanks to Josh Woodward of joshwoodward.com for title music. Next issue, Spectacular Spider-Man, annual number 8.
Hello, ladies. Listen to your man. Now listen to me. Now listen to your man. Now listen to me. Sadly, he isn't me. But if he stopped downloading lame-ass podcasts and switched to Two True Freaks, he could learn to sound like me. Look down. Back up. Where are you? You're on the Enterprise with a man your man could sound like. What's in your hand? Back at me. I have it. It's a long box filled with comics that you love. Look again. The comics are now episodes. Anything is possible when your man listens to Two True Freaks and not lame asses. I'm on a tauntaun.